Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today.
Okay. All right, let's start off with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your Word, and that your Word is truth, that your Word is trustworthy, that you have exalted your Word according to your name, that your Word teaches us truth that we would not know if you did not tell us in your Word. Truth about you, truth about life, truth about the life after death. And I pray that you would help us as we seek to understand the benefits of meditating on your Word. Speak to our hearts that we might be encouraged to meditate on your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in our sixth week of biblical meditation. Again, let me just say, for those who may be tuning in on the internet and haven't picked up the previous sessions, I want to draw a clear distinction between biblical meditation and meditation practiced by Eastern religions such as Hinduism and transcendental meditation. Transcendental meditation seeks to empty your mind of everything so that you might somehow come into a consciousness with the cosmic mind, or come at one with the cosmic intelligence. That is not what biblical meditation is at all. The biblical meditation is not to empty yourself, but to fill yourself with God's Word, with God's truth, with thoughts about God and His kingdom truth. The word itself means to ponder. It means to think about. It means to remember. The idea of rumination. You know, a cow will chew its cud and then brings it back up, chews it some more. It's got two stomachs. And so this is kind of the concept of thinking about, mulling over, pondering God's truth, God's Word, and then pondering, thinking about it some more, spending some concentrated effort, speaking to God about His Word, thinking about His Word, praying His Word back to Him. Now, we looked at meditation should be done at prescribed times. David talks about early in the morning meditating. David talks about in the middle of the night, he wakes up, he meditates. And also he said throughout the day. Psalm 1:2 says, for his love is the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So it should be something that we do at set times, and then something that we do throughout the day as we get a few moments, as Dr. Beakey told us, we saw last week in the video, that the Puritans would practice set times of meditation. They would recommend people meditate on a daily basis, 30 minutes or so. But what he also said is that they would just throughout the day, they might see a door and just spend some time thinking. Now, Jesus said, I am the door. So what does it mean? How is Jesus like a door? He is an entrance, and etc. So just spend some time thinking about that truth. Yep, you can think about Jesus as a door to your heart and an entrance, the door into heaven. Again, they just would let their mind think about these truths and mull over them, and this would help them. Now, we're looking at the benefits of meditation. We've already covered in previous weeks down through L, and you can go on our website and listen to these previous studies. If you click on sermons there, the banner at the bottom right of the home page of our website, it will take you to the page. It has all the different sermons and radio shows and Wednesday nights, and you can find the one for Biblical Meditation 5, 4, 3, and you can catch up. But tonight, we are picking up as we're looking at the benefits of biblical meditation. It brings us to number M, which is meditation enables us to discharge religious duties because it conveys to the soul the lively sense and feeling of God's goodness. So the soul is encouraged to duty. We all at times are tempted to get weary in our service of the Lord. And that's one of the reasons the scripture says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due time you shall reap. But we all do at times tempted, if not become somewhat weary, tired, or just maybe we need a jump start to get us doing what we know we should be doing. And meditation will help give you that jump start in doing your Christian duties, whether it be serving the Lord at your local church, or whether it be going out and sharing Christ with someone, or whether it be having your own time in this Bible study and prayer. But what meditation does is that it gets your soul stirred up as you think about and feel God's goodness. When you're meditating on God, you will sense His goodness. You will sense His love. Your soul will be set aflame, and this flame, this energy, this power, this fire for the Lord gets in your spirit because you're meditating on God and you're seeing how great He is, and that gets you up and you go and serve Him. Okay? Because when we get weary in serving the Lord, it's usually because we have a faulty view of our God. We are not exalting a high enough view of Him, who He is, because when we realize who God is, just the privilege of being able to serve Him is amazing. You know, that He would even ask us to serve Him. I mean, if our governor or if our president called you up and said, you know, I really would like for you to do something for me, most of us would be flattered, thinking he wants me to help him as something he wants me to do. I would be honored to be called on. And I say governor because we might not go further than that. All right, so if the governor or someone of high position, someone you respected, asked you to do something, you would be honored. Our God gives us the opportunity, gives us the privilege to serve Him. And when we are hesitant or when we are weary or when we do not want to do so, it's because we fail to see how great He is. Meditation remedies that. By meditating on Him and His Word and His truth, our hearts are stirred or set afire, and we are stirred up to do goodness. We are encouraged to do our Christian service. Next, meditation helps prevent vain and sinful thoughts. It helps wean us from this present evil age. Jesus said in Matthew 12:35, the good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. The evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. Now that treasure he's talking about is a man's heart. What's in your heart is what comes out in your life, in your words. What's down in the well comes up in the bucket. What's in your heart will come out in what you say and in what you do. And if there is evil in your heart, then that's what's going to come out. Well, how do you see to it that there is good in your heart? And by heart, we mean innermost being. Meditation. Remember, I've told you, meditation gets it from your brain down into your innermost being. As you are meditating on God's truth, God's word, that helps wean you from the vain things of this present evil age. I mentioned to you a few weeks ago that we all meditate. The question is, what do we meditate on? I mean, we all think about stuff. We all ponder. We all mull over stuff. It may be something going on at work. It may be some sinful activity that we're involved in on the internet. But we all meditate. The question is, what do we meditate on? Now, I got to tell you, if I leave my mind to itself, it does not go upward. It goes downward. You know, I've found when I am going to sleep, when I'm trying to go to sleep, is when my mind, if I am not consciously thinking, it starts going downward. And I have made a practice since we've been talking about this meditation is to meditate as I'm going to sleep. Take a verse of Scripture and talk to the Lord about that and meditate on that. And I have a feeling that just like me, you have that sin nature, and if you're just left to yourself, your natural inclination is not going to be to think up, but to think down. And so meditation helps counteract that, because as we're thinking on God, His truth, His Word, that's the opposite of this present evil age, right? As a man thinketh, the proverb says, so is he. We are what we think. And it just makes sense. I mean, what you spend your time thinking about is going to end up showing itself in your life. And so if we will think about good things, think about God, whatever is lovely, whatever is of honorable, whatever is good repute. You remember over in Philippians when he says that? Think on these things. And all of those qualifications fit for God's Word. Lovely, honorable, of good repute. All of those things mentioned fit perfectly with God's Word. And so meditation helps prevent us vain and sinful thoughts. It weans us from this world. Meditation also provides inner resources on which to draw, including direction for daily life. Psalm 77. Then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Here we have several words that are synonymous with meditate. We have remember, we have muse, all of these synonymous with meditate. Notice, he was going through a hard time, and it was so hard, so difficult on him, that his reaction was to say that God had changed, that God was no longer taking care of him, God was no longer looking after him. God was no longer the God that he had known, because he was looking at how awful things were in his life. But then, when he remembered, when he meditated on the deeds of the Lord, when he meditated on God's wonders, what God had done, when he meditated on God's work, then he realized, oh no, he hadn't changed, not one iota. He is the same forever and ever. He does not change. The world will grow old and change, but he is unchangeable. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. And so, as he meditated, it gave him inner resources and gave him strength to know that he should continue to trust God and not be swayed by his outward circumstances. And that is our natural tendency, isn't it? To be swayed by our outward circumstances. When things are going good, praise the Lord, we're great. But when things start going bad, when things start getting difficult, we start thinking, well, God, what's going on? Where are you? Why is this happening? You must not care about me. And we just start going down this road. But if we will spend time meditating, thinking about, pondering God and his greatness and his truth and his loving kindness and his steadfast love, then that brings us back to our senses. That gets us back on keel. It brings us like an anchor to our soul. It keeps us from getting out of balance. It's that gyroscope to keep us on the right direction. Also, meditation helps us persevere in faith. It keeps our hearts savory and spiritual in the midst of all our outward and worldly employments. There was a fellow named Brother Lawrence, lived back about the time Martin Luther lived, back in those days of the Reformation. He wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God. And what he basically said was that he learned how to practice God's presence when he was washing dishes. He lived in a monastery. When he was doing his daily chores, he could enjoy the presence of God then because he realized the importance of keeping God before you all the day, even when you're going about your worldly or your worldly employments. I mean, all of us have to work, right? Unless we're retired, we have to work. Or we have responsibilities we have to take care of. But you can still enjoy the presence of God even in the midst of those activities by means of learning the art of meditation. As you spend time meditating on God, this helps you to persevere in your walk with God. It helps you to have your heart, as a reformer, as the Puritan said, savor and spiritual in the midst of your outward worldly employments. When you get a moment in your job, reflect on God. Right? In those little moments, again, when we have a moment to ourselves, at the stoplight, on the way to work, at times when we get those moments when your mind wanders, train it to wander to God and his word and his truth, and this will keep your spirit softened and nourished to practice God's presence throughout the day. Also, meditation is a mighty weapon to ward off Satan and temptation. How many of us memorized this verse growing up? Your word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's another beautiful picture of meditation, treasuring God's word in our heart. That's how you treasure God's word in your heart, is through meditation, through spending time thinking about, pondering, musing, mulling over God's word. Get a little 3x5 card or a little business card on the back, write out the verse so you can have it in your pocket, have it in your purse. And throughout the day, when you get a moment, you can pull that out until you can memorize it. You can keep it in front of you, and you can just, again, treasure it in your heart. And when temptation comes, the Holy Spirit reaches down. He pulls out that verse that you've treasured in your heart, and he will give you the strength through that verse to say no to that temptation. Satan cannot stand before God's word. Jesus used the word of God when he rebuked Satan in the temptations he experienced in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4. That, to me, is the best example of the power of Scripture. And if our Lord used Scripture to combat the enemy of our soul, how much more should we depend on God's word? And it's when you treasure it that it's there. And you could treasure it in years later. The Holy Spirit can bring out that scripture in that time of need and use it to enable you to defeat the enemy. Also, meditation provides relief in afflictions. Hebrews 12:3, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Consider him. Him is Jesus. Consider Jesus. That's another way of saying meditate. Think about Jesus and what he endured at the hands of sinful people, so that when we find ourselves going through difficult times, we can see what he went through, thinking about that, considering that, meditating on that, and it will encourage us not to grow weary and lose heart. Because our Lord went through it, he went through much worse than we're going through, and he understands what we're going through, and he will see us through. In that same passage, the writer of Hebrews says, let us run with endurance a race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And again, fixing your eyes on Jesus is another way of saying thinking about Jesus, meditating on Jesus, keeping him before you, in front of you. And this will help you to not grow weary and lose heart. Another benefit, meditation promotes gratitude for all the blessings showered upon us by God through his Son. As you're meditating on Scripture, meditating on God and his goodness, meditating on Christ and his perfect life, the righteousness that God gives us through faith in Christ, the forgiveness of our sins that we have because Christ took our sins and was paid the penalty for our sins, was a sacrifice for our sins. As we think about the tremendous things that Christ has done for us, that God has given us in the Lord Jesus, that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, when you consider all those things, what does it do but cause your heart to feel with gratitude toward God for all the things he's done? You heard the song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. You know, we get so busy going through life, we don't stop to count our blessings. That's another way of saying meditate. Think about, ponder all the blessings, all the things God has done for us in Jesus. And as you think about those things, it's going to make your heart swell up in gratitude and love toward him. And then the last thing we're seeing here, it glorifies God. As we meditate, it glorifies God. Thomas Brooks was a Puritan. This is what he wrote. Meditation is the food of your souls. It is the very stomach and natural heat whereby spiritual truths are digested. A man shall as soon live without his heart as he shall be able to get good by what he reads without meditation. It is not he that reads most, but he that meditates most, that will prove the choicest, sweetest, wisest, and strongest Christian. You remember another one of the Puritans said that reading was like ingestion, meditation was like digestion, right? And this is what we're seeing here. You've got to spend time thinking about, reflecting on the scriptures that you're reading. We can't just read it like you read the newspaper just to get some facts. But you need to read it, someone said, like a love letter. I don't know if, I remember when I was in college, Terry and I were dating at the time. She was in school over here in Georgia, and I was in school in Mississippi. And Back in those days, before email, before computers, you only had a telephone and snail mail. And the telephone, you had to feed quarters. And so we would talk twice a week on Wednesday night and Saturday night, and I'd have to feed quarters in that machine, that payphone. But we would write. And I remember getting those letters from her, and you think I just read them over quickly and threw them aside? No, man. I'd read them, and I'd go back and say, now, what did she mean when she said that? And I wonder what she meant by that. And, you know, and just think about it and mull over it and read between the lines. That's why we need to read Scripture. We need to really think about it. Lord, what did you mean when you said that? Man, look at his love in that. That's the way we need to read Scripture. We need to spend time really looking at it, really thinking about it, meditating on it. That's what feeds your spirit. It's not the one who reads the most, but the one who meditates the most that will become the wisest, sweetest, choicest, strongest Christian. All right. This time we want Brother Paul to come and lead us in our prayer time. Those of you that may not have heard